This is Titan Careers, a podcast from St. Petersburg College with Jacqueline Kane.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jacqueline Kane, and I'm with St. Petersburg College. And today I'm here with Jeffrey Brown, the instructor in charge for the Fire AS degree here at St. Petersburg College. He is going to be giving us an inside look at the Fire AS degree. So our listeners know who you are and how you got to where you are. Can you tell us a little bit about your firefighting career?
Well, my career was spent with Tampa Fire, and I started off as firefighter, and then I became a fire investigator, and I was a fire inspector, and then the assistant fire marshal, and then I retired as the fire marshal for the city of Tampa.
How has the firefighting career changed over the years and generations?
Well, that's a really big question, and as far as firefighting goes, there have been some just really, really major changes, and I would have to basically teach you a history class, which would take us a couple of weeks, so we won't go into that too much. But the job overall, really, we have less fires, less really big fires, not less in number probably, but than we used to have, and that's because building and fire safety is basically worked. We build safer buildings. They have fire protection systems in them that put out fires and stop fires, and most of the materials that we have to deal with are not as combustible as they used to be. So nowadays the main part of our job is medical related, and we do probably 80% of our calls are medical.
How many fires have you been to over the years?
Another loaded question. I've been to fires several different ways. I've been there as a firefighter, and I've been there as a fire investigator. I've been there as a fire administrator and as the fire marshal. And each one is different. But as far as how many fires have I actually investigated, about 2,500. But how many fires have I been to total? More like about 6,000.
Oh, wow. That is crazy. Do you think we will begin to see more women in the firefighting career?
We already are. I mean, when I started in the fire department many, many, many years ago, back with horse and wagons, there were like three women on the fire department. The very first woman on Tampa Fire Department was still there, and she did an excellent job as a firefighter, and she ended up retiring out of the fire department. But she was there; she'd already been there a couple of years by the time I got there. And there were two other women; one had gotten there a year or so before me, and another one came on with me. All of them were very good firefighters. But the problem that you have with women in the fire department is a physics thing. Your average woman is somewhere between 100 and 130 pounds, and yeah, I know there's bigger girls and smaller girls than that, but in reality, that's about average. And you think about what they're going to have to do. You're going to put on 40 pounds of equipment to start with, which for a 100-pound woman, that's almost half her weight. And then you've got to carry something in that's going to weigh probably about 50 or 60 pounds. And so now she's carrying on her person more than she weighs. That's one of the problems that you have. And it's the same problem that a 100-pound man has. He's in the same boat as a 100-pound woman. It's just there are more 100-pound women than there are 100-pound men. And so that eliminates a lot of the population right there from being able to do the job.
What is the training like to become a firefighter?
Well, there's two parts to the firefighter training. There's the mental part where you have a lot of book learning. There's chemistry involved. There's physics involved. You have to learn about the fire prevention side of things. You have to learn about how fire works, how things burn, things along that line. And that's all book learning. And there's a lot of technical information involved. And so, believe it or not, that's, whereas a lot of firefighters used to be kinesthetic learners, where they're all hands-on guys, now a lot of those guys have problems with that because of the mental part, where you have to know the book learning part also. And not to mention that you have to be an EMT to become a firefighter, and that's a lot of a lot of book learning. It's a lot of medical information that's involved. But then the other half is the part that the 100-pound person has a problem with, and that's the physical part. And the physical part has more than one section also. For one thing, you have to deal with lifting heavy things, and most of the things in the fire department weigh a lot, and they're heavy. And just water by itself is heavy. You know, a gallon of water is about 8 pounds. So each hose is going to carry a number of gallons of water, and when you're moving a hose that's full of water, it's heavy. Mm-hmm. It's not as heavy as it used to be, but it is heavy because now they've went to plastic or neoprene hoses as opposed to cotton hoses that don't weigh as much. But the other part of that is, and we lose a lot of firefighters to claustrophobia. You're going to put on gear in Florida, where it's 90 degrees. You're going to put on a heavy-duty winter coat, an insulated coat that doesn't let you breathe or anything like that. You're going to put on a hood. You're going to put on gloves, insulated boots, and a helmet. And then you're going to cover your face with an air mask that's going to restrict your breathing. So it's hot, it's sweaty, and it can be difficult, and it's not light either. The gear is heavy. Then on top of that, we lose people to claustrophobia because you put people in all this gear and you're covering their face with a mask, and some people can't handle that. They also have to deal with some enclosed spaces and confined spaces. And, you know, it gets close in places where you have to crawl through things. And so we do lose people to claustrophobia.
Many people believe that all firefighters do is wait around for a fire. Can you explain a little bit more about some of your other responsibilities?
The fire service has changed a lot. There was a time where there were stations that did wait around for fires, but now with the medical calls out there, very few stations sit around. They spend most of their time running from one medical call to the next, and then occasionally to a fire. And it depends on where you're at as to how busy you are. And every station has their own station duties. I mean, you go to the station, the first thing that has to happen in the morning is you have to put your gear on the truck, get familiar with the truck, check the truck out to make sure nothing's missing from the truck from the previous day, and then you have to clean up the station. And so everybody gets a turn at doing cleaning toilets and sweeping out the bays and washing. You're going to wash the truck every day and make sure it's clean and wash all the extra gear and get everything set up. And if the air bottles are low, you have to refill the air bottles. And all that has to happen. Plus, there's going to be somebody who's going to be responsible for cooking for the station. And so they're going to have to go pick up food and figure out a menu and cook and so forth. And all that happens in between calls. So they don't get to sit around very much. There's also pretty much daily there's some kind of training that you have to take on. You're going to go in and there's a certain number of hours they have to do a year to keep their EMT and paramedic certifications up. The EMT, I think, is something like 30, and paramedic is like 90, that they have to do 90 hours a year. They have to show that they've trained. Then you have your firefighter skills that have to be kept up, and they have to train on that, and you have to familiarize yourself with the truck. And every now and again, the trucks break down, so you get a new truck, so you have to familiarize yourself with the new truck and where everything is on that truck. And sometimes they change trucks in the middle of the day, so they have to do it twice. So, yeah, no, it's not a there's not a lot of sitting around and that kind of stuff anymore.
What is the number one emergency call you receive?
That runs a gamut. I don't know that there's actually a number one emergency call. Generally, it's like I said, it's medical. Now, medical can range anywhere from somebody who needs a Band-Aid or an aspirin to somebody who's dying from a heart attack or a stroke. And you have everything in between, including car accidents and people falling off of things and getting electrocuted or struck by lightning, and because we are in the lightning capital of the world, and it happens here. But all of those things happen during the course of a day.
Is the firefighting career anything like they show on television?
Yes and no. They seem to have gotten a lot of the station life correct, especially on some of the newer shows like Chicago Fire. The station life is not too far off from what they show there. They show you the guys eating together, doing all kinds of things like that, playing jokes on each other, which is a constant thing. The firemen do play a lot of pranks on each other, and it's kind of fun. But the fire part, I have never seen anything done correctly on TV or in a movie that was that had anything to do with fire. They generally don't wear their gear correctly, so most of them, when they went into the fire, would never come out of the fire because they're all going to die. And the fire itself is different because, you know, in the TV shows, you go in and everything's on fire and there's fire everywhere and you can see perfectly clear across the room. And in fact, that's not going to happen at all. When you go to a fire, there are no lights, so it's completely dark most of the time. The building is full of smoke, and so you can't see 5 feet in front of you. You spend most of your time on your hands and knees crawling through the building and looking for something to close to put water on. And that's what it's like for the most part. And that doesn't make good television, so they don't do that. Mm-hmm. or movie.
How many cats have you had to pull out of trees?
That's another misnomer about the fire departments. We don't do that. The easy answer to that is, how many times have you walked through somebody's yard, looked up and saw the skeleton of a cat in a tree? And the answer to that is never, because cats don't get stuck in trees. They go up in the tree, they sit up there for a while, they decide they can get down, and they get down. And there's no need for us to go up there and grab the cat and get all clawed up to get it down, because the owner's upset. The cats are fine. Cats don't die in trees. They climb down.
Why should a firefighter continue their education, and why should they choose the Fire AS degree at St. Petersburg College?
Well, they continue their education to get promoted. The longer we go, the more education requirements there are for firefighters to get promoted. You need certifications at minimum to get through, to get yourself promoted. You need your fire officer certificate, and you need your fire inspector certificate and fire investigator certificate. Those are certifications that entail taking a group of college courses, and then taking a state test or state exam, to get certified in. But it's coming in the very near future that you're going to be required to have an AS degree before you even get hired by the fire department. They already, many of them already require a certain number of college courses, like about 30, before they'll even look at you. And they require you to have your EMT and firefighter certification. When I started on the fire department, they would put you through the fire academy, and then they'd put you through EMT. Now they've got hundreds and hundreds of applicants that already have their firefighter certification and they already have their EMT certification, so they make that the minimum of what they're going to even look at. Soon, the fastest way to narrow down a field of applicants is to require more education. So they say, okay, we're not going to accept anybody that doesn't have an AS degree. And so now I've cut out 100 or 150 of my 300 applicants that don't have AS degrees, because I've already got 150 that do, and so they're going to require that eventually. And the police, most of the police departments already do require an AS degree, and fire departments are going to follow suit very shortly. Why should you do it here at St. Pete College? Because you can do it while you're working a full-time job. Our courses are for the most part online, and you can take them from the leisure of your home whenever you want to. I have a running joke with my students. I don't care if you take it at midnight in your underwear, just do the work. And I'll check it and get you through it. But you have a certain number of assignments, and there's no specific time that you have to do it. If you're working a full-time job, have a family, kids, and maybe even a second job, you don't have time to be here every Monday at 5 o'clock for 4 hours. You want to be able to take it whenever you've got a break, or even when you've got a lull at work, you can take it. And that's why to go to St. Pete College is we're more convenient than most of the other colleges are. It's easier to get in here, and it's easier to get through the courses because you don't have to give up your life to do it.
If someone is interested in the program here at SPC, what would they need to do?
Well, you can go online, you can register and sign up for classes. There is a long registration process that you go through to become a degree-seeking student, but you want to start tomorrow, you go in as a non-degree-seeking student, and you can just start taking classes. And then we can work you through becoming a degree-seeking student if you're interested in learning more about it. And my number is 727-341-4120.
Thank you so much for meeting with me today.
You have been listening to Titan Careers, a podcast from St. Petersburg College with Jacqueline Kane. Find out more today online at spcollege.edu.